Revelation chapter 20 with me this morning, please, in verse number 1. Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 1. The Word of God says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. Yet I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Father, bless this holy word now, Lord. I can tell the question, and you know it, Satan's fighting this. He's fighting this because he knows he's the object of what I'm preaching here this morning. But I pray, Heavenly Father, that you give us power in the Holy Spirit of God. We don't attempt to do this in the flesh. If we did, we'd fail immediately. We need the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord. We need your power, your unction. We need your word as it goes forth for you to anoint it and anoint the messenger, Father. Then come into this house. You're welcome. You're welcome to be here in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. The book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, 66 books. It took nearly, if Job was written 1,900 B.C., it took nearly 2,000 years to write the Bible. 90-95 A.D., somewhere along in there, the Apostle John, exiled in the Isle of Patmos, wrote the book of Revelation. It's the Apocalypsis. We call the Apocalypse for short here and anglicize it. It's the Apocalypsis. It means the opening up or the unveiling. And we see many things unveiled and opened up for us in the book of Revelation. We go all the way through the tribulation period and we come to the place where we start to enter into eternity. And that's where I am this morning. We are entering into eternity. Now the word itself blows the mind. How in the world can you grasp something that we've never experienced? Eternity. Forever and ever and ever and ever. Eis ton aionon ton aionon, unto the ages of the ages, forever and ever and ever. I want you to understand this morning that your little passing time, your little moment of time on this earth is not even a drop in the bucket to eternity. The Scripture says a day of the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. There is no other God, he said beside me. In the book of Isaiah, thundered to Isaiah and said, I know none. There's not another one. There's only one Lord God Almighty. I'm so glad this morning that I serve the true and living God, that I don't scratch around with some man-made demon. I'm glad that I know the truth of the Word of God. But in the book of Revelation, the Apocalypsis, the unveiling, the showing to you of the future, it talks about an angel that comes down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit. This is Abaddon, Apollyon, that we read about in Revelation chapter number 9. The bottomless pit as it is opened up and comes up out on this earth. You're seeing a preview of it right now. You are literally being inundated with demonic power, folks. It's everywhere around you. And you should be clear. You should have no problem being able to see that. It is getting worse by the day. But that's God's way to prepare you and warn you about what is to come. This angel is not named in the Bible, but Michael in Revelation 12 goes to war against Satan and Michael overcomes him. And Michael in the Bible is probably the archangel, the only one mentioned as an archangel. We find him in the book of Daniel. So it may be Michael that comes down and takes Satan and casts him into a bottomless pit. Notice it says he takes hold of him. He takes hold of him. There's no one else that can do that but God Almighty. And he comes as an emissary from the Lord, as an apostle of Christ. He takes hold of him and he casts him into the lake of fire, into the bottomless pit here. So I want you to notice something in chapter number 20, verse 3. He's the binding of Satan. He's bound and he's cast into the bottomless pit. My friend, he's not bound now. He's loose. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible says that you resist him steadfast in the faith. Your weapon against Satan is not your mind. Your weapon against Satan is not your experience. Your weapon against Satan is not how big you think you are. Your weapon against Satan is God's Word and what He said in the Scripture. Notice that in chapter number 20 and verse number 7 through 10, it says that he must be loosed for a little while. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And why is he loosed out of his prison? Because he, verse 9, says that he goes up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. You think after 1,000 years of the glory of God, 1,000 years of the Son of God reigning in Jerusalem, this earth has never seen a time like that? 1,000 glorious years, you'd think that men would be in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. But no, my friend, I hate to say it, they're not. And even right now in America, there are those out there that hate him. There are those out there that are saying, we would be better off if he had never been born. They mock the Lord Jesus and they make fun of him. An old timer said one time, he said, America, he said, it would do good in America to be shaken out over hell. Amen. Shake this country out over hell. You've been soothed too long. You've been told how good you are too long. You've been lifted up too long by human flesh and means. What we need to do is to see God for who He really is, and the glory of God will lift you up. Amen. So the Bible tells us here that He's loosed. In chapter number 20 and verse number 10, I want you to notice what it says about Him. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. He knows this. He quoted Psalm 91 to the Lord Jesus. He knows the Bible. He knows the Bible better than all of us. He's read it from cover to cover. He knows the author of it. And no doubt he has read this Scripture that says he will be cast into a lake of fire. Now think, if you knew it right now for certain without a question, and you knew that you were headed to the lake of fire, that in eternity that you're going to be in hell. Think about what you'd do about it. It could drive a man crazy. It could drive you insane. But this is what the Scripture's about. It's about conviction. It's about bringing you before God as who you really are. Not who you think you are, but who God is. And so the Bible says that he's cast into a lake of fire. Look at Revelation 12:12. And you'll see how the Bible develops this. It says in Revelation 12:12, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Well, friend, I think he's coming down. I think he's headed down. I think we're seeing something this earth has never seen before. Oh, I know it's always been wicked. I understand that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. I know sin's always been here, but we have never seen demonic power like we're seeing it now. Amen, amen, amen. So Satan is bound in chapter number 20. In verse number 10, he's cast into the lake of fire. Look at verses 4 and 6 of Revelation 20. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God. Who are these people? These are the tribulation saints. You got a lot of people running around there teaching the church is going to go through the tribulation. I'm sure they mean well, but they're dead wrong. He's coming for his bride. He's going to catch us up in chapter number 4. Come up hither, he said to John the apostle. He loves his bride. He will present to him a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He comes for his bride. But in the tribulation period, a multitude that no man can number. They refuse the mark of the beast. They refuse the devil. They refuse to bow down and kiss his image like they did in the book of Daniel. They absolutely abhor him. And they will not receive his mark. And because of that, they become part of the first resurrection. Look at verse number 4. And they worship not his image, neither his image, and neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So I'm absolutely forced to do something here. What does this mean, 1,000 years? Is this simply a symbolic period of time? Some unknown space or some unknown time? There's an awful lot of people up in the pulpits right now that's all it is. Just some unknown time. They spiritualize the Bible. But my dear friend, this says 1,000 years. And it says it more than one time. This is what's called the millennium. And the millennium is soon to come. It is the 7,000th year of man's sojourn on this earth. And for 1,000 glorious years, the Lord Jesus is going to reign in Jerusalem. And we're going to reign with Him. Notice what it says over here in verse number 6. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. Of the Jews during that 1,000-year period of time, 7 men will take hold of the skirt of a Jew, and they're going to say, God's with you! Help us! Help us! Help us! Who? Us? We, the Church of the Living God? We are going to be priests during that 1,000-year period of time. What's that mean, preacher? A priest is an intermediary. It is one who goes between. This is why we have such a problem with the Catholic Church, because they claim to have priests who come between you and God. But the Bible says that we have a new and living way. And we have a way that's alive. We can approach into God, that we are a royal priesthood, every one of us. The Apostle Peter said that. But here in the millennium, we have people who want to approach God, and you who know Him, and my friend, have been raised in the resurrection, because you're always going to be glorified. And when they see you, they'll probably do for you like John did for this angel over here in Revelation. He fell at his feet to worship him, and that angel said, get up from there. He said, I'm of your fellow servants and the prophets of God. Don't worship me, he said, worship God. When God's glory comes down upon you, my friend, you're going to know it. His glory has come into your soul. You knew that. Has it come into your soul? Certainly it has. So access to the Lord God Almighty in the tribulation period will be pointed straight to Him. Not you. You can't save anybody. But you'll point them to Christ. That's what a priest does. That's what he's doing right now. Seated at the right hand of the Father, bringing you into the presence of God Almighty Himself. I'd hate to try to do it on my own, wouldn't you? So the first resurrection. In the book of John, chapter number 5 and verse 28, the Scripture says this, John 5:28. I've always loved this Scripture from day one. When I first got saved and read this, it grabbed me. John chapter number 5, verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Which one's yours? Are you living like the devil? Some of you in here this house this morning, you've got your mind on everything in the world but the Word of God. I'm not performing today. I'm preaching the Bible. You're raised in church. You know the church, the language. Yet you come in here and you toss around and you play and you're looking at this and you're looking at that. What have you done? Stay home. Amen. The church of God. And I'm up here preaching His Word to you. I'm opening up my soul. I'm trying to show you the Bible. And yet some people, they have no... Somebody says, well, I'm a fundamental Baptist. Well, so what? Have you been born again? Amen. 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 So the Bible tells you in Revelation chapter number 20 and John 5 verse 28 and 29... all shall hear His voice and shall come forth. The resurrection of damnation and the resurrection of life. Which one is it? Have you been saved? Are you ready to meet God, or are you still lost? Listen, most of the people that we preach to today, including folks sitting in the church house, are unsaved. Just as lost as you can be. Just as lost as you can be. You've been baptized. You prayed the sinner's prayer. Somebody laid their hands on you. Some of you speaking in tongues. You've been the whole religious route, and you're just as lost as you can be. If you are not upset, if you are not stirred up right now with what's happening to your country, if this does not bother you, then you're playing, okay? You're playing. I want to be on. I want to be straightforward with you. I'm upset. I'm bothered. We got pedophiles out here that want our children. We got sodomites walking through the street and they display their perversion. And we got a political party in this country that want to take everything away from you and take your kids along. And they want to brainwash them in a public school system. And then when they turn them loose, they're nothing but a brainwashed a moron. This is what we're here for. We're here to teach and preach the Word of God. And it bothers me. It bothers me. It bothers me greatly. In some churches, all you hear, love, love. I love you. Do you love me? Well, we love each other. Well, do you love him? Oh, I love him. Oh, do you love him? Yes, I love, love. The problem is, love is a real thing. But it originates from a perverted heart. And there's no truth in it. I didn't plan to go that way. I've been doing this a long time, folks. 44 years I've been preaching the Word of God. And I can sense a spirit. I just feel it. That's what was eating you up, brother. It's in here. It's just like, show me something. I've heard it all. I went into here one time in the back to counsel with a broken marriage, and the guy came in. His wife was sitting in there, and he came in. He sat down. He threw his leg over like this, and his arm, and he said, "All right, now tell me, what is it you want me to do?" That attitude. That was it. I'll never forget that attitude. Think about where you're going, dear friend. That attitude's what's going to get you in trouble. The first resurrection. Notice Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no more place." What is this? This is the judgment of the wicked dead. You live around wicked people. Some of you are married to wicked people. You work for wicked people. You brush shoulders with wicked people every day of your life. You listen to wicked people. You hear their music. You hear their dance. You hear their play, their games. The wicked, the Bible says, the wicked. Look carefully. This is the wicked dead. In the Scripture, there's about seven judgments, and there may be more, but these are the seven we know of. There's a judgment of the believer's sins at the cross at Calvary. He judged them. Aren't you glad God judged my sins instead of me? He paid the sin debt for me. Then there's the believer's self-judgment. This is the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. Somebody said, "Boy, when I die, preacher, everything's going to be glory, hallelujah. I'm going to shout with the angel." You'll shout a while until the judgment seat of Christ. And that's when you give an account for how you treated each other in church and what you did with your life. So don't get carried away. Be good to each other. Bear one another's burdens. Pray for one another. Love each other as the saints of God ought to. And you should do that. But I'll tell you something right now. If you think you can live a wicked, godless life and come to church and put on the show on Sunday, no, my dear friend, it's not going to work. The judgment seat of Christ. The third judgment is the fourth one is the judgment of the Gentile nations. This is why I worry about America. We're about finished, folks. I worry about this country. Where are we going? Right now, the President of the United States of America is in Walter Reed Hospital. He's been tested positive for COVID-19. Now listen carefully. Some of these so-called journalists out here and comedians and the rest of them are wishing him dead. This kind of country you live in, they're wishing him dead. They want him dead. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? What does that mean, preacher? That means that we got murderers out here that are trying to counsel with us. I don't want him dead. I don't even want the leaders of the Democrat Party dead. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray. Then I got names for some of them, but I'm not going to get them out in here this morning. But I still pray for them. I got no use for them, but I pray for them. I do, seriously. I pray for them. I don't want them dead. But I'll tell you this. The leader of the free world is at Walter Reed Hospital right now. He's got his warts. He's got his problems. Nobody says otherwise. But he has going on in this country for the first time in a long time something that is good. Amen. And I support him. I support him 100%. And I'll tell you right now, I hope in November the 3rd, I hope that he wins election as the president. You say, Preacher Lawson, that was a political statement. Amen. Bet you got it. You got it right. Then there's the judgment of Israel. God's going to judge Israel. He said in the Bible that during the tribulation period, He's going to meet with them in the desert. He's going to meet face to face with them. The Bible said He's going to plead with them, and He's going to pass them under the rod. Now that passing under the rod is over there in the book of Genesis, where you pass so many under the rod to count them. So what this means is that He's going to purge out the rebels. He's meeting face to face with the folks. And remember this now. He loves us. He loves His church. He loves His body. But He also loves the Jew. And Paul said plainly in Romans 11, hath God forbid cast away His people. God forbid. So He's going to meet with them. And when He meets with them, the time of Jacob's trouble, He's going to prepare them for their place in the millennium and their place in eternity. The Jew will inherit the earth. Amen. This is, I know the Jehovah's Witnesses think it's theirs, but it's not. It's for the Jew. They're going to inherit the earth. So they're going to be the judgment of Israel. Then the judgment of angels. The Bible said, don't you know that you will judge angels? Yes, we'll judge them. Angels fit in all kinds of categories. All kinds of categories. That's a separate study in itself. And it's a remarkable thing when you think about what the Bible says about angels. But the day is going to come when you will judge angels. And my friend, that tells me that there's something powerful going on right now with these angels of God and the angels of Satan and the battles that are raging and what's happening, the deception all around us. And then finally, there's the judgment of the wicked dead. Boy, what a thing. The judgment of the wicked dead. Can you imagine standing before Almighty God and hear the roar of hell? Can you imagine standing before Him and hear the screams and know you're headed there? Can you imagine? Can you even listen? I was reading. A guy had posted a thing underneath that message on YouTube on hell. Every once in a while, I get in there and see what they say about it. And I want to see. You know, one will say, well, "This is crazy." Not good night. Who wants to listen to a fool like this? You know, that's me preaching about hell. You hear everything in the world. But I just read one the other day, and he said this. He said, "I left this world. I left my body," and he said, "I saw terror." He used the word terror. He used it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Terror, terror, terror. He said, I cried to Jesus. I cried out to Jesus. I cried His name. I cried out to Jesus. I called upon Him. And He said, I came out of it. I came out of it. And I wasn't drug off into hell because of the name of Jesus. Now, how much stock you put in stuff like that and this and that and so forth. But remember this. Remember this. He's not the only one that has gone off into what appears to be the abyss. And the name of Jesus is what saved him and got him out of it. Amen. It's a horrible thing. The Bible said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Scripture says in Revelation 20, verse 14, this is the second death. What's the second death? It's the death of the soul. Body, soul, and spirit you are. Your body is like your car outside. Don't get in that car, it carries you where you want to go. That's all it is. Your body's a vehicle for you to live in while you're on this earth. But it can be sanctified. You can yield your members as members of righteousness. Then the soul, your soul can be saved. Saved, saved, saved. But your spirit, born again. Now, God's got a great purpose in what He does. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 30, 23. Hebrews 12, verse 23. Look at what it says here. Hebrews 12, 23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men, made perfect. 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 When the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, He said, it is finished. Finished. Tetelestai, teleos, is the root of that word. What's it mean? It means absolutely complete and perfected. That's what it means. In plain words, he's saying, I have perfected atonement and salvation. Don't ever try to add anything to it. That's one of the worst things religion tries to do, is to add to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Same word used here. Talking about the spirits of just men made teleos, made perfect, perfected. And what does that mean, preacher? It means that one day, you and I both will finally begin to realize what this was all about to begin with. He's going to bring us into His presence, and we will be able to withhold the face of Almighty God. And from where we came from to where we're going to be, we will be perfected as men, perfected what He made us to be to begin with. That'll be a wonderful time. No sin, no sorrow, no suffering, no death. For the former things are passed away, perfected. But on the contrary, or the contrast to it, the unsaved are not going to be perfected. The unsaved are continue to degenerate. The book of Revelation, it says, let him that is filthy, Revelation 22:11, be filthy still. Let him that is righteous be righteous still. Let him that is holy be holy still. Now think of the wording. That means that forever and ever and ever. How many have ever heard of the BTK killer in Wichita, Kansas? BTK. I think he called himself that. Bind, torture, and kill. There it is. And he would relive that episode, take photographs and so forth and so on, relive what he put those poor people through. He's in prison right now. He's the BTK killer. He will forever and ever, see the face of his victims flash in front of him and degenerate more and more as the murderer that he is. Let him that is filthy be filthy still. The only thing that can change that is the blood of Christ. And think about it. Think about how powerful the blood of Christ is to take some degenerate like that and give him a new life and make a new man. The son of Sam took a 44 special bulldog back 20, 30 years ago and he'd shoot people, kill them. Just cold-blooded murder. Yet when he went to prison, he got saved. He really did. He was born again. Now the BTK killer, if he doesn't get this right before he leaves this world, forever, he's going to be the BTK killer. But the son of Sam, he's born again now. He's your brother in Christ. Well, it's not, you know, that's not right, preacher. That's not fair. It's not nothing about to do with being fair. It has to do with the blood of Christ. If you're in this house today and you've done things worthy of death, listen to this. Little babies, sometime when they pull them out of the womb, abort them. They're alive. You know, they're alive. Isn't it the governor over here in Virginia? Isn't he the one, the doctor over there, that says we pull it out and it's alive, then we'll have a council with the family to determine whether to kill it or let it live? Well, here's what this doctor did. Baby come out, the baby's alive. She would cut its throat so it couldn't scream. She didn't want to hear the screams. See, she didn't want to hear the screams of the babies. And do you know what? For some strange reason, in this perverted country, that's legal. She cut its throat so it couldn't scream. God help us. Forever and ever, she'll hear them scream. She'll hear them scream. You say, well, I did that, preacher. Well, there's a woman on TV said she had 5 abortions between her ages of, I think she said 18 and 22, 23, somewhere in there. 5-year period of time, she had 7 abortions, I believe it was. But she got saved. She got saved. Thank the good Lord. That's why He came. He came to seek and save that was lost. If I were you this morning, if I were you, I'd run down here. And I'd say, oh God, oh God, I deserve hell. I deserve judgment. I've done it. I'm guilty. I deserve it. No defense, no argument. I'm it. Lord, I did it. Forgive me. Forgive me. And you'll find forgiveness at the cross. Would you do it? Would you come down here this morning? You're in this house. And come down here and say, Lord God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive me. Cleanse me. In the name of Jesus. Every one of us have bones in the closet, and we've all got a past. We've all got a past. And there's not a soul in this house that would have a screen put up here with your whole life flashing in front of people of everything you've done, every dirty deed, every place you've been, everything you've said. But God knows every thought that's ever been through your heart. But He forgave you in Christ Jesus the Lord. That's where the forgiveness is. It's in Him. All He wants you to do is to accept it. Would you do it? Father, in Jesus' name, we confronted the devil this morning, Lord. It's not the first time I've had to confront him, but we confronted him. And Lord, I've got peace about that. I didn't do it. As the messenger of God preaching your word, we came against Satan. Now, Father, I pray for those souls that heard what I preached, those people over the internet that hear it, and those that will hear it later. Lord, I pray they just think about what I said and what your word says, that forever and ever and ever, let them be filthy still forever. I pray that they do something about that. I pray they do it right now. In Jesus' name, your heads are bowed, Father. I'm going to ask them if there's anybody in this house that's not sure if they're saved. If they'll raise their hand, we'll pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else, we raise your hand, we'll pray for you. God bless you. Another hand back there. God bless you. A hand up here. God bless you. There ought to be fear in your heart right now, dear friend. You ought to be thinking about it. That you're going out to meet a holy God. Anybody else, raise your hand. Say, pray for me, preacher. Pray for me. Father, I pray for these hands. You know who they were. You know why they raised them. You know what's in their heart. You know what they're going through. Heavenly Father, you know if it's biblical, scriptural conviction, that if they really see themselves as you see them, and then being led by the Holy Ghost, they can come and be born again. I pray for that. I pray for that now in Jesus' name. For His sake I ask it. Amen.